Need a quick hit of Marketing Smarts inspiration? Here it is. We have lifted portions of our Marketing Smarts episodes for those of you who need a quick jolt of marketing savviness right now. Refer to the description for how to find a longer form version. And with that, here it is.
A brand needs to be more than the logo, but there's a limit to the number of tools you actually need. You don't need every tool under the sun. You just need enough for your consumers or customers to have a rich experience with your brand at whatever phase of maturity you're in. Number two, the verbal components of a brand are just as important as the visual ones, but admittedly, they are harder to tackle. These often get left out for that reason, because they are harder to create. But when you have both working on your behalf, the visuals and the verbal, your brand is so much more of an authentic, consistent experience. Number three, the vehicles that work best for your brand should inform which tools you create, but also be flexible to change. Usually a brand's having success in certain areas or it wouldn't exist. So use the vehicles that are working to assess which tools will work hardest for you and then prioritize the development of those. And finally, number four, as the brand matures, the brand components need to expand and grow, but should not be reinvented each time. Brand reinvention is rarely needed if you take a disciplined approach and keep up with your brand as it grows. And in our next segment, which is In the Trenches, where we give real-world examples specific to industries and situations, but with broad applications, so any of you listening can digest them and put them into action. Our first In the Trenches question is, we have the logo, font, and colors you described. Do we completely start over now to get it right? And we've spoken to the fact that we don't recommend throwing the baby out with the bathwater, so you should assume that would be the answer here. Not completely starting over and reinventing yourself. But what I will say, and you know, Anne already made the point about bad behavior in social, I've seen a lot of bad behavior on the agency side where for selfish reasons, the agency does recommend starting over with a clean slate.
Oh yeah.
It's not done in a way of like money grab or anything like that. I think it's more, this is going to be super exciting and fun and we want to put our stamp on this and we want to rebrand this company and it's so much wider territory when we do this. But one of the things that I wanted to solve better for when I left the last agency. And what we focus on at Fourth Rate People is taking in what exists. We've talked about finding the things that are working, or honestly, what's really important to the history or the business or the experience. And we work really hard to keep those elements. And there are times really transparently, we had this happen one time last summer where we might tweak a logo, but to the early points of this conversation, the typical viewer would not even notice. And a lot of times we're doing it as a cleanup exercise, like the logo files weren't built right. So printing is going to be a nightmare, those types of things. Or we can just make it so much cleaner so then when we build the system, it will match a lot better. But a full rebrand, if there are actually elements that have been around a long time that people really attach to, that know you for, getting rid of all of that and starting over, it's hard to rebuild that from the ground up for folks. So we really try not to do that. But we really are, as we've said throughout the episode, huge fans of building a toolkit to support what exists. Because what we often find, and we've given you examples throughout this episode, is a logo, a font, and a couple colors or some combination of those things could never work hard enough for you, especially in the landscape we're in today, how crowded things are, how many channels there are, et cetera. You have to have a supplementary toolkit that's really ownable to you so that you can build that energy and excitement around the tools and then use them in ways that build that for the people that are experiencing your brand. But I want to reiterate, and I'm kind of putting a bow on all the things we've talked about here, you don't have to have all the tools. Literally for a few thousand dollars, in most cases, you can have a toolkit that makes your brand really sing, gives it new swagger, and also provides what you need to actually have a real shot at building your brand out there in the wild.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point. And you talk a lot about an evolution versus a revolution, right?
Yep.
And just to reiterate the point that you made, there's three big questions that you should ask yourself when you're trying to think about where you want to go. If you feel like you need more of a revolution and an evolution, that is, how much time do you have? Right? Because these things don't happen overnight. How much budget do you have? Mm-hmm. Because then, as to your point, is that you need to start then marketing your new brand so that you don't fall your existing consumers off.
Yep.
And one of the big reasons for actually doing a rebrand is to get new consumers. So you have to do kind of double duty to make sure that you don't burn any bridges with your current consumers, and you can then have something that actually means something to a future consumer or the one that you want to actually target now. And then to you, the point you made too is like, what's the adaptability of your current clientele or your customers or your consumers?
Yep.
Are they going to be able to go on this journey with you?
Yep.
Or not? And sometimes yep. it's okay if they're not, but you have to then really plan your business around that and yep. know that this is going to be more of a hard transition than a soft transition. And you're going to have to be prepared with that, with all other kinds of things like budget, marketing, in all of those other advertising based ways of being able to get that message out at mass, so that you don't start to kind of trickle down and just kind of go underneath all the noise, right? So it's a strategic decision to be made, and it's a very intentional one that you need to make in order to figure out if you need to do all these things or not.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I'm going to offer a pet peeve here too. There are a lot of brands out in the world today that are doing more of this reinvention that Anne just talked about, and they are streamlining to these super simple sans serif, which means no feet, fonts, and they're all starting to look the same, which means they're stripping away their equity, yes, their personality, yep. And now they're commoditizing themselves and the experience of their brand, not just within their industry, but in an across industry fashion. And it's super dangerous. And I keep seeing evidence of it all the time.
I totally agree. That's happening a lot in effort to, quote unquote, modernize.
Yes.
Right? So we see a lot of that happening. And not that you shouldn't be updating.
Yes.
But be careful about what is guiding your inspiration, for sure. And then I also want to say one more thing that I forgot to mention with regards to the importance of having a toolkit. And you had mentioned the fact that it gives whoever's working on your brand that guideline for how to behave
yes.
for your brand.
Yes.
That drives efficiency, everybody. I mean, I think people don't appreciate the fact that when everybody has those guidelines, one, it does not limit creativity, which a lot of people think it does.
Yep.
But two, it makes sure that the work that you're getting is more consistent yes. with the work that you want to get.
Yes.
Right? Otherwise, amen. As you said, people just kind of make it up. Well, if I don't have it, I'm going to make it up.
Yep.
Right? And they may not be as in tune to your brand as they should be, especially if they're a new vendor or a new talent that you have coming on board in order to help develop those things. So the toolkit, though it takes some time and money invested up front, pays huge dividends down the road when you want other people to work on behalf of your brand, and you want good work, and you want good work more quickly, and you don't want to overpay and overinvest with 5 to 10 rounds of iterations.
Amen to all of that. I feel like you just picked up the April soapbox there a little bit, but I love it.
You taught me well.
All right. Number two in the trenches, we have a visual toolkit, but have not tackled anything verbal. Where should we start? So I mentioned
brand story.
Okay. Yes. Brand story. So if you don't, and yes, of course, we keep saying that a little tongue in cheek, but that's the starting point for everything. So we will reiterate that here. We've also mentioned we have episodes for all of it. Positioning, story, brand character, and tone of voice. I outlined those before. Those are the starting place. You need to, at the very least, have those things in your toolkit in order to build the consistency, the experience, all the things that Anne just talked about, and eliminate the overspend, overtime investment, many rounds of revisions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I will offer some specific things that you can go and do to the point of this episode of alleviating the stress and getting you over the hump and starting. And those things are, number one, I mentioned this before, but let's just again say it and give you a format. So survey employees and ask them if they had to describe the brand as a person, what personality traits would they use? Again, lens of a best friend. What are the 3 to 5 that you feel like this is the way you talk about the company, why you work there, the culture that exists? Those are the types of things you're thinking about. Ask people to do that exercise and then analyze what comes back. You may not hear the exact same words over and over and over again, but you will start to see themes.
Yes.
And then you don't have to take that as where you want to go. You have to take some of it. We've talked about not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. But you can be really pragmatic and disciplined and strategic about which ones you want to represent you in the future and how things are going to morph. So that's one tool. Evaluate the materials you have out there today. We've talked about that throughout this episode. What is working? And that looks like what's getting the most engagement. What's getting the most excitement? Where are you getting the most sales? Where are people picking up the phone? Where are people answering your solicitations for their business? Those types of things. What communications are out there? And then don't just analyze them from a, oh, this one looks good, or this is our newer one, or this offer was really time relevant. No, we're doing it through the lens of the character and tone of voice, which is your overall personality. What do you think pulled those people in on that emotional level, and how can you capture that moving forward? And then spend time thinking about why you are a fit for this company. Likely some of your personality traits match up or mirror why you chose to work at this company and within this culture, right? So what are those things and where do they exist again in other people throughout the organization? So think about yourself and then think about the rest of who you work with and think about what things are consistent and similar. Again, you can opt and say, well, that's a me trait. I don't think that's what I want this company to represent. But at least you start to do some homework to putting it into more of a process and a system instead of a lot of the one-off stuff we've been talking about throughout this episode. But overall, I would say don't get overwhelmed. Don't let the swirl start happening. We see this a lot. We talked about people's faces when we say that they have to create these things and you can see them thinking, I have no idea what those even are. I don't know what those words mean. So I definitely don't know where to start. We're trying to give you things here to get you started, to start internalizing. Like I said, we have episodes and worksheets for all of these things.
Yes.
So at the very least, those are a great place to start. And then we would say just do something to get started, because I promise once we get our clients over the hump and we start to actually do the doing, it becomes a lot more objective and it's a lot easier to tick off one thing at a time versus saying overall, we're going to create your brand character. That does not resonate. And we know that. So those are my tips.
No, I think those are really important, and I'll emphasize one, and that is that it's really, really important that everybody is talking about your brand in the same way.
Yep.
I know that feels like a tad bit robotic, but it's not, because you still want them to actually bring it to life through their own lens, through their own personalities, but they all have to be very consistent with how they are talking about it, what words they're using, what is the expressions that they're using. What is the way that you're articulating what you do and then how the impact that you're having? That's why the verbal toolkit is so critically important. Like I said, even though the visual thing seems to be the most exciting, it's the thing that actually creates the resonance. And that's where things like message tracks come from. Again, a tool that's very underutilized, but it's so critically important, because if your salesperson needs to be able to communicate what your service or your product or whatever you're selling does, you better hope that the people over here that are marketing it are talking about it in the same way. Otherwise, they don't match up. And so somebody's like trying to sell something to somebody, but they see the marketing and they're inconsistent and they're talking about different things. It's like, what am I getting?
Mm-hmm.
What am I getting? Mm-hmm. Kind of similar to your restaurant examples. Like people don't know what they're getting. So therefore, when they don't know what they're getting, you start to make them think too hard. They start getting very skeptical about what you're actually selling. And they're going to be much more hesitant to actually take a chance and trial you, because it's just not holding together for them.
Yeah.
And so where some of these tools go to are the more refined communications tools, which is like message tracking, communication strategy, and those start to translate into the actual content you're creating. So just to kind of give you a roadmap about where this is all going. But the underlying thing here is it's extremely important that everybody is talking about your brand in the same way, even if they have different ways and different lenses for which they are bringing it to life.
Yeah. And there are so many choices out there today, you guys, and our attention spans are so short and we get so many messages that if you make it too hard for people,
they'll opt out.
They just move on.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Our third and final in the trenches question. Our executions feel like they're falling flat. What gives, Anne?
Yeah, so this is definitely probably an indicator that something needs to be re-looked at and investigated further. And I would look at it in two different contexts. One, of course, is the toolkit.
Yeah.
Should have been a gimme. But the second is in the execution. And they probably are related.
Yep.
Right? So when we've seen things break down, it's generally because either A, the toolkit isn't as complete or as comprehensive as it needs to be, or it's not lining up with what the brand actually needs to be in order to be able to convert sales, whatever that filter is for you, for your business, or what is the person who's actually working on behalf of your business is not internalizing and interpreting and translating the toolkit in the right way. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're not creative enough, or maybe they're not understanding the channel enough. So there's two different aspects you need to look at that. And you need to kind of see if there's something that you need to do to evolve it, if there's something that you need to do in order to bring different talent on board, yep, in order to make it the way that it needs to be. But take a look at some of the things that might have also happened with your brand from point A to point B, especially if it was working and it's no longer working. So you maybe, again, your brand has matured and you just simply need more tools, yep, in order to be able to bring it to life more and be able to maybe scale it to the point that you need more of a brand architecture, yep, look and a focus to it, which I know you guys are probably like, what the heck is that? And that's just a way of being able to organize your products and services so that people see that it all ladders up to the same brand. Okay, it's what happens when you scale, when you have multiple things that you're delivering or you're trying to sell. Also, what might be happening is maybe your brand has stagnated a bit. Maybe there's new competitors that have come in that are starting to take attention away from you and what was working before, or it's just not working as well as it could have or it should have. And so maybe you need some more interest or depth. And this goes to the creative and the execution piece. So
yep,
it also translates back to what maybe we need some other assets in order to be able to make our toolkit a little bit more robust. But it's more of an executional thing at that point in time.
Yep.
Or maybe it means that you got a little lazy and you took your eye off it a little bit, which it can happen. I mean, when something is working well, you guys, it happens to all of us. We're kind of like, all right, I'm going to put my attention to something else. And sometimes that takes all of our attention and we forget to come back. So it's totally fine when there's no judgment here, but go and take the time to diagnose actually what happened. Like, not just the fact that it is quote unquote not working,
yeah,
but what actually happened? Did engagement drop off? Are people not responding as well to this new message or this old message that you have? Are people not coming in anymore? What is going on? And try to see what's happening around it as well. Not just what you're doing, but what's happening around it. Did something change again in the environment? Are there new competitors you weren't thinking about? Did they introduce something that maybe is having more of an impact that you thought? It's going to be very, very important that you set aside the ego for a little bit and not take this personally and just recognize, okay, fine, let's see what's going on. Let's take a really honest look at what's going on and let's see if we can diagnose it so that we can have the right feedback and we can provide the right next steps in order to go do the right thing for the business.
Yeah, I think all of those things are so, so important. And the letting go of ego thing, I feel like it is really important. I think people get down on themselves and they put a lot of pressure on themselves, but this is not your day job, mm-hmm. You know? This is not what you do for a living. So I feel like, yes, of course, this is the plug to call on the experts when you need to, which we're happy to help with that. But more than that, I think just admitting to yourself that you shouldn't really know how to do this. And this is where we really have the very best clients is when they can bring their expertise of their business to the process. And we bring the expertise from the marketing, branding, and communication side. That's where the magic happens. Yep. So I think your point's really right on of we're never judging in those situations. And we see them happen all the time. And it's not an industry or business specific situation. It's just you reach different points where you need the assistance and help. And the quicker that you can actually admit that and put yourself more into the what are we going to do about it, the better for your business and your brand overall.
Exactly.
All right. And our third and final segment is where we highlight companies or brands that may or may not be using their marketing smarts and may or may not have anything to do with this episode. So this sort of has to do with this episode, but it is a very big brand.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So
bring it on.
Yeah. So I think they are just a fantastic example of when a brand really does it right, but also continues to very strategically and in a disciplined manner build their brand. And Anne brought up brand architecture, and that's going to be a big component of what I talk about. So without further ado, I'm going to talk about Legos and the Lego store specifically.
Interesting. Okay.
So this is a big brand, like I said. And one, though, that a lot of people, I think, look at and think, how in the world do they keep going, right? How does the popularity continue? And when I was in retail design for a portion of my career, this was one we always held up from an experiential perspective. They just do an amazing job. I'm sure many of you have been to them, especially if you have children. You've definitely been to them. And in larger footprint locations like Chicago, they would do these massive installations of Lego-made heroes, right? Mm-hmm. Or characters or whatever, just larger than life figures. Well, this was my first time at the Lego store in Kenwood Mall. And it's yes.
You got through this many years.
I've avoided it until now. But this was Sam's ask for his birthday. He wanted to pick out his own Legos and he wanted to go experience the store here. He doesn't remember. He's gone to the Chicago one before. Okay. But in any case, so I was like, okay. So we go in and at first I was kind of like, we're walking up and I'm like, this is it? Because I'm used to the bigger footprint stores, yeah, small. But I will say my opinion was very quickly changed. We went to walk in. There was a greeter right there. And he immediately was like, hi, guys, welcome in. He's talking to the kids. He's not talking to us. Kind of gets down. You know, I said, oh, we have a big birthday boy here. He's like, a birthday boy. Okay. And I see him like, he's like, well, go look around. I see him immediately go off. The manager comes over and says that since it's Sam's birthday, they have this build your own figure, like the mini figures. And there's just this display with all these like slides basically of little materials, right? So I think he got like a mini dog. He built his figure. It had a little hat, you know, whatever. It's free. And they have these cute little boxes where you can put the components in so they can count that you're not taking the whole store, right? Yeah. But it's a $9.99 retail thing, which is highway robbery on one side. But also, I mean, they're gifting that to him for his birthday. So, okay. So then I noticed, okay, they have the big Darth Vader in the window and they have a monkey that's made out of Legos on the counter. But that's it from that standpoint. They've also integrated screens now and some experiences of building your characters through that. And they have the wall of like pick your own. But it's not as massive and impactful as you would think. But the thing that really got me is the organization of the products. So I told you I was going to talk about brand architecture, right? And I'm also, yes, I have a lot of OCD in me. But we did one lap around the store and Sam was really overwhelmed and I was kind of just managing him. And then I clued in on just the very tight portfolio and the way it is organized and displayed in the store and the amount of different sub-brands they have and just how well they're all done.
Yep.
And there is something for everyone in that store.
Yep.
Even someone who was never a Lego fan. I fell into the experience. I was super fascinated. They have like the Duplo with the little kids and then they have Dots, which I've never seen before, which if you don't know are like these, basically they're more pattern based. They're flatter Legos and you clip them into the board, but you're creating almost like artwork with the dots.
Okay.
Which were super cool. And then they have your traditional like the city and then they have the, I forget what the superhero one's called. And of course they have Star Wars. But then they also had a wall of course, the traditional movies like Little Mermaid and that. But they had, and they were side by side. So this is where I really got excited. Friends, the TV show, and then the Home Alone house. I literally almost bought that damn house for myself, which for any of you that don't know, Home Alone is my very favorite movie of all time. But again, with the tiny footprint, one, the organization of the store and how easy it was to get, and it was chaos. There were probably 35-ish people in there. And like I said, it's small. It was packed. To be able to navigate through and get the lay of the land really, really fast, but then also talk about brand maturity, but then also the ability to keep going. Legos, when I was growing up, was just the bin of the Legos and you kind of made whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And then it morphed into these things that you, these experiences and environments that you created that then you didn't break back down. But now, fast forward, I don't know, however many years, and we have all of these just different experiences within the Lego brand that keep people coming back and provide something different for everybody. But even when we're talking about these endorsement strategies or these partnerships with other brands, right, and movies and all of that kind of stuff, it's still the Lego experience first. And I am just like, I mean, I was just fascinated by the whole thing. And then the customer service around it, you know, they're probably all college age boys, enthusiastic about the experience, super helpful. Like I said, we got our free toy. And then when we checked out, he's looking at the amount of stuff we're buying, right? And he's like, you should be part of our VIP club. This is not a sales thing. You accrue points. You get money back. It's really easy. It takes 2 seconds. So I'm signed up. And then he gave me his name and asked me to do a survey on his performance, which I'm absolutely going to do. It's sitting on top of my to-do pile. But overall, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a brand I've always really respected. It's a brand that's always been upheld in our industry. But I just think there were so many things that hit home for me about branding and where you, if you build discipline and consistency, but then also are always reaching to do better, be more, and stay on top of being a leader, what you can actually achieve. And of course, they are a money-making machine.
Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt. And I think the point that you brought up is a really good one, that they probably do have a pretty robust virtual and verbal toolkit.
100%.
That started with something very simple, but yes. Now you can see how the brand has matured and how now, because of the multiple different partnerships they have with other licensed between Star Wars and Disney princesses and stuff like that. And always wanting to make sure that they are balanced between genders and having something for everybody, as you mentioned, they've had to really thoughtfully create that experience so that it is feeling like something that's for a more mature person and something that's for a kid, because Legos for mature people is new.
Yes, exactly. That,
right?
Exactly.
You aged out of Legos when you were like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
When we were younger, right?
Yeah.
And now you have Legoland, which is enjoyed by adults to kids of all ages, right? And so that experience needs to translate that. But it sounds kind of like, I know people are probably like rolling their eyes, but I'm like, it really does start with something that's so fundamental, like developing a toolkit with intention, because it makes you go through the thinking process. It makes you make choices. It makes you be disciplined that these are things that are important to my brand, because you can't be everything to everybody. And if you try to be, you're going to be nothing to nobody. We say that all the time.
Yep.
But also realizing that these things are choices. Right. And then when they are done together and are cultivated together, they do create potential for scale.
Yep.
Regardless of what scale you're looking at. So we're not saying that everybody needs to be like Lego, but you can learn from what Lego has been able to do, apply it to whatever size business you have, and be able to create opportunity, create potential, open up new avenues of revenue generation, be able to connect with your clients, consumers, or customers in a more intimate way, hold retention more, develop more loyalty, all these wonderful things everybody says they want to go do. That's how you do it.
Still need help in growing your marketing smarts? Contact us through our website, forthright-people.com. We can help you become a savvier marketer through coaching or training you and your team or doing the work on your behalf. Please also help us grow the podcast by rating and reviewing on your player of choice and sharing with at least one person. Now, go show off your marketing smarts.